Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are so awesomely in love with us. We receive that today. We just praise you. As you heard our hearts sing, even as we go through the service, just hear our hearts, even in the quietness of our hearts as we're listening. Hear our hearts praising you and worshiping you. For we love you, Jesus. We thank you for who you are, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus. Be glorified in this time in us and in our lives. To your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can sit down. Okay, so last week I told you that I had that moment of feeling really good because I was walking out of the gas station or pumping gas in the car, and the older guy came by, and as he walked past me, he just looked at me and said, "Are you blessed by the Lord today?" And I said, "All the time." He said, "Hallelujah, young man." And I thought, wow, that makes me feel pretty good, man. I don't get young man very often. So as good as I felt about that last week, how many of you guys have been to Sonic? Okay, see, you were kind of slow to raise your hands, though. It's a little bit of... Okay, so Caleb and I were at Sonic this week. And I got there ahead of Caleb. And I've never been to Sonic before. I knew it was a drive-in place, but I thought, oh, good. Because we're supposed to meet Caleb, and I just figured we're going to be sitting in our car, you know, one of our cars together. Oh, cool. There's a place you can sit outside. That's nice. And as I'm walking up, I see they have doors, and the building looks pretty long. So I see they have doors, and one of the doors says in. So I'm thinking, oh, we can sit inside. That's really nice. So I go to pull the door, and of course, it doesn't open. And the young lady, and she was like a really young lady, answered the door, and she said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I guess there's no seating inside." She said, no, there's only seating outside. Okay, thank you. So I went and I sat down, and as I was waiting, because I guess I just look like an older guy at Sonic, I don't know. But so I'm sitting there waiting, and then after a few minutes, she comes out and she says, "Can I help you with something?" Because I didn't go to their board and order anything. "Can I help you with something?" And I said, "Well, I'm just waiting for someone." And she said, "Well, no, we don't come out and serve you. You don't wait for someone." I realized that I looked totally irrelevant to all of you, but I did understand. I said, no, I'm waiting here to meet someone. Oh, okay. So as young as I felt a week ago, she took all of that away within 1 week. Okay, one other thing before we start. Good praise and worship this morning. Thank you guys just for your hearts. Yes, I love that. Does anybody else, I've told you this before, does anybody else when you're clapping, if you wear a coat, there's only a few of us that wear coats, but does anybody ever get that thing when you start clapping for a little while? The right hand, the sleeve just gets totally spun around inside. Does anybody else have that? Is it just me? I don't know why that happens, but it did. So if you see me during praise and worship doing this, I'm just getting the jacket squared away. There was something else I was going to share with you about that too, but I forgot. But that's okay, because we got the Word of God to get to. It is Mother's Day, and what a great way to really enjoy Mother's Day. I mean, the best way to do it is to do a baby dedication. And we're going to be dedicating a little one later on today. Julie and Tanner, who usually sit up here in the front row and you can't see them because they're on the screen. It's like last week, you didn't get to enjoy what I got to enjoy. Towards the end of the service, you just got to see me. I looked down at that screen, I could see a little stuffed animal otter. Big, huge on the screen looking back at me. So anyway, you're going to get to see Julie and Tanner will be here, and we're going to dedicate their little one. How old is Tobias now? 6 weeks old. So we'll dedicate him this morning, and that's awesome. Well, Lord, we just thank you for the word that you have. We thank you for everything that you have spoken, and we can take every word you've spoken. We can take that. It is reality for us. We can just take it into our hearts. We can make it our own. We can make it the truth realized in our lives. So we praise you and thank you for that. As we hear the word today, and as we hear the word, I know, Holy Spirit, you're speaking to each one of us individually. Even though we're talking about children, I know that it speaks to each one of us individually because we're supposed to come to you like little children. So we just thank you as we hear your word. We receive it. Speak to us individually. It's in your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love that. It's the sounds of life. Sounds of life and joy. Although it kind of surprised me because I saw that the mother's room door was open, so that's really, but it must be in bathroom or my office, one of the two. Here's the verse I want to start with this morning. There's often crying in my office, just so you know. There is often crying. Sometimes it's me. This is Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. It says, "Then they also brought infants that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" First of all, thank you, Jesus, just for the way that he speaks and the words spoken. Diane, that was so timely. You're going to hear even what you just said. You're going to hear some of that even in the message today. Just love it when the Holy Spirit just moves in all things. So in Luke 18, verses 15 through 17, what is it that caused these parents? I mean, think about this. This is one of those verses that we tend to just kind of read over and we take it at face value. But I want you to think about what's actually taking place here. What is it that caused these parents to bring their little children to Jesus? And when it says infants, just so you know, that in multiple verses like this, when it says infants, in the Greek, infants actually means more than just little ones that are in the arms. It means children as well. They needed a break. But that's probably true. And Jesus could do that. I hadn't thought about that. And right now, Laura would know about needing a break. So if you want to take Lucas, Donna's right here, happy to. But think about those. Think about that instance, being out there. I mean, what would compel those parents to bring the children to Jesus? Because we do just read it, we take it at face value, but think about that. Because this is a spontaneous action that all of a sudden all these parents are bringing their children to Jesus. Because Jesus didn't say, he didn't call out when this whole thing started. He didn't call out, he said, "Don't forbid them." But Jesus didn't start this thing by saying, "Hey, bring all the little children to me." It's not like he had sent the disciples into this town or village a week before and put flyers up all over town saying, "Jesus is coming to town. There's going to be a baby dedication. So bring your babies to Jesus, and I, Jesus, I will dedicate them to me." That wouldn't have gone over very well. He didn't do any of those things. This was a spontaneous action that took place. But consider what those parents, what those who were there, consider what they have seen. Because in the weeks and the months previous, Jesus has been going through the different towns and villages. And they've either heard the stories or they've seen themselves as Jesus heals the sick and raises the dead. They've seen the supernatural take place. And they want, these parents want, the anointing of that power invested into their little ones. They're seeing something in Jesus so powerful, they want that invested in their children, in their homes, in their families, and in their lives. It's what they're looking for. When they're looking at Jesus, they're seeing something of God in Jesus, even though they don't at that moment fully comprehend or understand that this is the Lord incarnate. They saw the power. They wanted that anointing upon their children, upon their family. They wanted the touch of Jesus. And in wanting the touch of Jesus, there's that spontaneous action of parents bringing their children all to Jesus at the same time. So what's so important about the touch? What's so important about the touch of Jesus? A touch is a connection. When you touch, there's a physical connection that takes place. And we see in Jesus' ministry, in all the miracles that we see with Jesus, there's a touching that takes place. I mean, we see Jesus touching the sick and they're healed. There's a touching that always takes place. Touching is that spiritual connection. Touching is that step of faith. It's that faith action that leads to a transfer of power, of supernatural power. Touching is an act of faith that leads to a transfer of supernatural power. That's what they were looking for. That's what they were seeking. It is that supernatural power. It's the spiritual realm. It's the supernatural flowing through this physical, this natural, this flesh. That's what we see in that touching that we see so often throughout the New Testament. It's the touching that Jesus brings. Now, we see this whole concept, we see this played out in the story of the widow. I'm sorry, of the story of the woman with the issue of blood. In that story, we see that she comes to Jesus, she touches the hem of his garment, and she's healed when she does. Let's look at that, because I want you to see this concept of the importance of touching. These parents are bringing their children to Jesus for him to touch them. Luke chapter 8. I was wondering why I didn't hear any pages moving. You guys aren't going. I guess I should give it to you first. Luke chapter 8, verses 44 through 47. She came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those who were with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she had touched him and how she had been healed immediately. The touch of faith led to a transfer of supernatural power. The touch of this woman in faith, touching Jesus in faith, led to the power of God to flow through Jesus, and she was healed. It's that power that comes in the touch. It's faith mixed with action and the touch of Jesus. Here's a simple recipe for just receiving those supernatural things of Jesus. Get your spiritual big mixer and put your faith in the mixer. And you've got the faith, because Romans tells us that we've all been given the measure of faith. You've got more than enough faith. So you get your big spiritual mixer, you put your faith in the mixer, turn it on, doesn't matter what speed you use. Once you've got that going, put in a little bit of action. You've got to add the action. It's the action that stirs the faith actually inside of us. It's when we have faith and we put action to our faith, that's what really stirs that faith inside of us. Then once you have that big mixer going with your faith and that action mixed in, it just takes a touch of Jesus. And you get those super, it doesn't have to be a big touch. It's just the touch of Jesus. It is your faith mixed with action and the touch of Jesus. And you will see those supernatural things taking place in your life. Now, this lady with the issue of blood, she's really no different. There's a lot of similarities between her and what you see taking place with these parents that are bringing their children to Jesus. Because this woman, I mean, think about this woman with the issue of blood. I know that in her mind, she had to be thinking, "I have no idea. Where did this idea come into my mind that I would say to myself, if I risk all," and it was a risk for her, because if she gets caught, she could be stoned. She said, "If I risk all," where did this idea come from? "That if I risk all and I touch Jesus, I'll be healed." That doesn't come to the natural mind. I mean, that's not even logical. There's no past precedence for that. Where did that thought come from? But this is what happens when we look to Jesus. This is what happens when we see Jesus. We are driven. When we see Jesus and we see who he is, we are driven to exceptional acts of faith, unprecedented acts of faith, because we're driven to his touch. Don't let go. Don't appreciate the acts of faith. Don't let go of those extraordinary acts of faith. We should be, as believers in Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit's putting thoughts in our mind, we need to mix action with our faith and that touch of Jesus. We need to be wild in our responses in acts of faith to the thoughts that the Holy Spirit impresses upon our minds. Do you get that? We need to be abandon. We need to give ourselves in abandon to those wild responses of acts of faith that we should have, to those thoughts that Jesus puts into our hearts. That's what this woman did. It didn't come from the flesh. And yet we're so reserved. We have faith. We're so reserved to put some action to that faith and have that touch of Jesus be a part of it. Now, there's two other things I'm going to look at regarding touching and the importance of touching. One of the things is we can go back to the last 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the Ark of the Covenant. If you remember on the Ark, the top of the Ark was the mercy seat. And above the mercy seat, if you remember, there was those two cherubim, the two angels. And it says, and it's very specific about this, it says that their wings came back across the top over the mercy seat, and the wings touched above the mercy seat. Now, picture this, because the Bible makes it really clear in the description that God gave to Moses on how it was to be built and what was to happen. The presence of God appears beneath where those wings touched, and above the mercy seat. That's where the presence of God came to meet with men. The supernatural touch is so vital to our experiencing the things of Jesus Christ and the fullness of Jesus. Here's the second thing. One of the words that is used to describe the Greek word for touch, one of the words that is in there to describe that is kindle. I thought that was really interesting. So in the Greek, when it's describing that touch, it means to kindle. At some level, these parents, in seeing, they didn't understand it, but they saw something in Jesus. They saw God in Jesus, and they saw that power. And it made them, it kindled inside of them the desire to see that power of Jesus Christ, that love of Jesus kindled inside their children, and inside in their own heritage. That's a good word for you and I. Maybe we should stretch our faith, reach out in faith, and touch the Word, and let it kindle that fire of the Lord inside of us. Now, as we look at those verses, we start off by looking at, what was it, Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. That gives us a story, but what I love about the Gospels is there's so many Gospel stories where you get other versions. And there's a parallel version to this story where Jesus says, "Let the little children come unto me." And when he says those things, he says one other thing that he doesn't say in Luke. When he says, "Let the little children come unto me," he actually then speaks a blessing over those little children. I want you to read this. This is from Mark chapter 10, verse number 16. We're going to read it in the New King James. Then I want you to read it also in the Amplified Bible. Mark 10, 16. "And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them." Now here's how it reads in the Amplified Bible. I love this. I mean, if you can, if you want to read it, that's fine. But if you can, just close your eyes and picture what is taking place. Picture as these little children are coming to him. "And he took them," the children, "up one by one in his arms and fervently invoked a blessing, placing his hands upon them." What a picture this brings to my mind. I mean, see that. These little children, these little innocent, precious hearts coming to Jesus. And one by one, Jesus picks them up into his arms, and he lays his hand on them, and he fervently invokes a blessing, his blessing, the blessing of Jesus upon each of those individual children. I mean, we read those verses, and we don't think about what's actually transpiring there. I would love to know what became of the lives of those children. What happened in their lives? What did they do in their lives to advance the kingdom of God? What did they do for Jesus Christ in their world? What did they accomplish? I mean, I'd love to see and to know those things because of that blessing that Jesus had poured out and put on them. He put his hands on them. The Bible says that that first generation of the church turned the world upside down. How many of these little kids grew up to have a part in the early church and what God did? Those little children had to grow up to be powerhouses for Jesus Christ. Don't take lightly, because we do things in the church and we do things so much out of ceremony. Don't take lightly what happens when we dedicate a child to Jesus Christ. Don't take it lightly, because this is what we believe. Those little lives are going to be powerful lives for Jesus Christ and to His glory. That's what takes place, and we are witnesses to that, and we're a part of it. We've already seen it here in several that we've had the honor, for me, the honor to be able to dedicate. This is what happens when we dedicate. Now, if we look at Luke chapter 18, verse number 16, so that's one of the first verses we read. It says in the version that we read in the New King James, it says that Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me." If we read that verse in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Allow the little children to come unto me." If we read that verse in the King James, it gets a little bit more uncomfortable. Because in the King James, it reads, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." What does Jesus mean when he says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me"? Well, obviously, the word "suffer" is synonymous with "let" and "allow," because we see that in the other versions. But this also offering, the word "suffer" also offers us a bit more. In the original Greek, when you go back and you look in the King James and you go back to the original Greek word, when it says "suffer," it's more than just "allow," and it's more than just "let." When you read it in the original Greek, what it's saying is, it's saying to let go of someone from your care and your possession. So when it says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me," it's Jesus saying, let go of this little one. Let them out of your care and possession, because we're giving that life to Jesus Christ. I mean, that's an awesome picture. The Lord is asking us to allow our children to be His first and foremost. This is what dedication is. The act of dedication is the willfully saying, out of love and faith, I give my child to you, Jesus. And that's a great biblical principle that we see repeated. Because it's the biblical principle that says, if we give back to Jesus those things that He's entrusted to us, we're going to get them back better than before we released it to Jesus. That's what we see from Abraham. I mean, Abraham gave up Isaac, and he got Isaac back, and he got so much more. This is the principle that we see. This is what happens when we are going through that act of dedication. The act of dedication is allowing parents to release their children into God's care and into God's plan. And it's liberating for parents. It's a liberating thing. In our hearts, we should see it that way. It's liberating because we are saying, I trust you, Jesus, to accomplish. I can trust you to accomplish your perfect will for this one's life. And I'm paving the way by giving him to you. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Let's go back and look at Luke 18, verses 15 and 16. But I'm going to look at those verses, this time from the Amplified Bible. Now they were also bringing even babies to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples noticed it, they reproved them. But Jesus called them, the parents, to him, saying, allow the little ones, the little children, to come unto me, and do not hinder them, for such as these belong to the kingdom of God. See this in your mind. I mean, get a picture of what's taking place. Because the parents have been turned away by the disciples. They've been turned away from themselves giving their children and taking their children to Jesus. They've been turned away. But now Jesus calls to them, because it's very clear. He's calling the parents. He's not talking to the disciples. He's calling the parents. And now that Jesus calls the parents, he says to them very specifically, and think about this, he says very specifically, allow the little children to come unto me. So the parents had been coming to Jesus. The disciples stopped them and turned them away. So they're going away. But now Jesus says, parents, allow the children to come unto me. So picture, this is a beautiful picture. Picture these little children coming to Jesus, not by the hands of mom and dad. Now, that's going to be true in the infants. But what we see is the children coming out of their own joy. out of their own enthusiasm, out of their own ability to see in those tender, pure little hearts the love of Jesus Christ, and they're drawn to it, and they respond, and they come. That's what we see when Jesus says, "Allow the little children to come unto me." They're making their way to Jesus, these little ones, by choice, making their way to Jesus unhindered. They're compelled to Jesus by their own love. In the next verse, verse number 17, it tells us that this is how you and I, as adults, this is how you and I are supposed to come to Jesus, with that same joy, with that same expectancy, with that same enthusiasm, and with that ability to recognize the love of Jesus and to be drawn to him. That's a beautiful picture. Now, one of the things that we don't think about very often, because we see Jesus calling the little children, but one of the things we don't think about is you don't see Jesus in the Gospels laying hands on adults for the sole purpose of invoking a blessing upon them. Now, we see Jesus laying hands on children or laying hands on adults to heal them and to deliver them, but it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare that we see Jesus laying hands on adults simply to speak a blessing upon them. Why is that? Why is he speaking, putting his hand, touching the children and blessing the children, and why is he doing that for the children and not for the adults? Well, part of it is, as adults, we're only seeking Jesus for the temporal things in this life. We seek Jesus, we fall into that habit and pattern of seeking Jesus just for the things that we need in our life. And yet Jesus has so much more to give. He's got his love. He's got himself. He's got his nature. Little hearts see this, receive it, and want it. As adults, we just want to have our carnal needs met. To receive the greater things that Jesus has, we have to be able to come to him with a heart like a child. And we can. We can come to him with a heart like a child. We can. But we have to have that heart that, just like those children, Jesus spoke to those children. And whatever he told them, they believed. They just believed it and received it without question. This is the way that we have to approach the Word of God. When we see the promises, this is the way that we have to receive it. Now, even had Jesus spoken and evoked blessings on most of the adults, they wouldn't have received it anyway. Because they were following Jesus, most of these, not all, but most of these were following Jesus because of what he could do for them. You know, it says when he fed the multitudes, look, they were following Jesus. You can see it in the Word. They were following Jesus because he filled their bellies. Jesus wanted to fill their spiritual bellies as well. And he has the same desire for us. Look at this verse in John chapter 7, verses 38 through 39. It seems like I've given you a lot of verses. I thought I really had Donna said, you don't have very many verses this morning, because I think last week we had like 16. Wore out your pages last week. John 7, verses 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The promise that we have is greater. I mean, we've got a much greater promise than was what they had as Jesus was there walking with them. We have that greater promise, but we have to approach Jesus with that heart of a child. How many times, Jesus, how many times am I following you just for what you can do for me? I mean, that's a question I've got to ask myself and probably be somewhat shameful about what the answer is. But that's a question I need to ask myself all the time. How much am I following you just for what you can do for me? I mean, do I want just some of Jesus, just a part of Jesus? Or do I truly want all of Jesus and all that he has for us? For those little children, when Jesus blessed those little children probably lived lives that were more powerful than the majority of the adults who surrounded Jesus during the time of his ministry. I mean, probably, because of the pureness of their hearts and because they received what he had to say. And he invoked and spoke those blessings as he laid hands and touched them, as he laid hands upon them. I'm telling you to picture a lot of things today, but if you can, I mean, think about this. Think about those little children. And think about when those little hearts that had been prepared already by Jesus and had already received his blessing, think about those little hearts when the Holy Spirit came. Man, what powerful lives they must have lived and must have been evidenced by them. This is the importance. This is why when we dedicate a child, it's not just a ceremony. This is something that is taking place, a spiritual thing taking place that prepares the way for that child's life. Okay, another, just one final point I want to look at this morning. This is 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. This is John, and he's describing that they as the disciples, he's saying, we actually saw Jesus. We heard Jesus. We touched Jesus. This is John giving a description of the eternity of Jesus as well as the humanity of Jesus. Now, we've already looked this morning at the importance of Jesus touching the little ones. But this brings to our mind the importance of us making the effort to make sure that we touch Jesus. It's important that we are the ones that reciprocate and have that desire to touch Jesus. What is it that I want? What is it that I want? Jesus said that they handled. I'm sorry, John said that they handled Jesus, that they touched Jesus. In the Greek, again, if you look at the one of the descriptions, one of the descriptive words and phrases for the word handle in the Greek, two of the phrases, it says this. Handle means, it means to touch, but it also means to cling to, and it also means to lay hold of something. So we're supposed to lay hold of something, and we're supposed to cling to something. This is part of the reason that John had such a great revelation of who Jesus was and the love of Jesus. Nobody had a greater revelation of the love of Jesus than John. Part of the reason is that John spent his life with Jesus and after Jesus, clinging to Jesus and everything, and handling Jesus even when Jesus wasn't there. Because through the Holy Spirit, he was daily dealing with touching, handling Jesus. Now for you and I as adults, today, for us to know Jesus as adults, we need to cling to him always and in everything. And we need to lay hold of his promises despite what the circumstances look like. Now, Jesus also said in Luke 24, Jesus also said to the disciples, this is just after he was resurrected. He said this to the disciples. This is Luke chapter 24, verse number 39. Behold, my hands, my feet, that it is I, myself. Handle me. This is Jesus saying, handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Jesus wanted them. Jesus wants us to handle him, to touch him, to handle him every day. We handle Jesus by the time that we spend in the Word with him. We handle Jesus by being with him. If I'm handling the Word, I'm handling Jesus because Jesus is the Word. Amen? All right, we're going to dedicate Tobias William Babb today. And as we dedicate him, we're doing that for the purpose and with the conviction of knowing that his life, which we can't even see, we've only seen 6 weeks of it, but his life, which Jesus has already established and seen, we're dedicating him with the conviction of knowing he's going to live his life honoring Jesus Christ and walking in all the years of his life, the full anointing that Jesus has for him. But as you and I witness this, we witness it. But we also participate. It's not just a witnessing in it. We participate by learning as we go through this, and we see this with a little child. By bringing this back to ourselves, we participate by having that mindset of knowing that we ourselves every day need to come to Jesus, just like the little child. Julie, Tanner, why don't you bring up, this is Tobias William Babb. Do you think he cares what all is going on? Then I want you to come up here also. Why don't you come over here? Everybody wants to see you guys. I'm going to stand behind you. Is there anything that you wanted to say? Either one of you guys?
No.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this precious, this little life. We are delighted in what you have prepared and planned for Tobias. And we just dedicate Tanner and Julie come today with the intention of dedicating this life, that which you've entrusted to them, dedicating Toby to you all the years of his life. They are giving Toby to you. That which you've entrusted to them, they're giving back to you, knowing that you're going to bring him back, give him back to them as parents. Bring him back with blessing, with bountiful, with more joy than they could have thought, imagined, or hoped for. And you give him back with you in him. So we praise you and thank you for that. So we speak upon Toby, just your joy, your peace, that he lives the entirety of his life to the fullness of the plans that you have for him, that he sees and enjoys all of the great things that you've established for his life, that he is a joy to his mom and his dad all the days of his life. He's a joy to his family, that he advances your kingdom in the ways that you've prepared for him to advance your kingdom. And we thank you that this is a temple dedicated to you to house your spirit when he quickly, at a young age, comes to accept you as the Lord and Savior. We speak all of that upon Toby. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving wisdom and direction to Tanner and to Julie in all things. We praise you and thank you. We rejoice in you. Amen and amen. Give Jesus a hand clap for this precious little one. Thanks for letting me do it. Like I said, I love just hearing the sounds of little ones. Toby was kind of quiet, though. Pastor Menke, my pastor, when he would do dedications, he would save it up, and he would do like 8 or 10 baby dedications all at one time. And I promise you, the first little baby he would pray for every time, that little baby would start, as soon as he walked up, that little baby would start squalling, and boom, right down the line. You never heard a word that pastor prayed over any of those children because there was so much noise that's there. Let's stand up. Let's close in praise and worship this morning.